Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and we are not in the Northwest region of Arkansas today. We are actually in the great state of Mississippi, and we are traveling down the road on our way into Florida, where we're going to be spending a few days with our dear friends that have opened their home to us. They do this every year for my beloved Patricia Joy Xavier's birthday. And so we're going to be getting some refresh and get ourselves impactful. But as we're traveling into Florida, the ice and the snow, I guess, has been pretty intense. We pulled out yesterday, and it's very cold in Mississippi. And the temperatures are high enough down here, a little bit further south, where you're not getting the ice as of yet or any snow. But it's very cold and a bit rainy. But we heard from our dear friends yesterday that Northwest Arkansas took a shellacking, I guess, a quarter inch of ice. And that's pretty deadly. They had some car wrecks on the freeway in the Fayetteville area. And it just looks like a big winter storm going through. And we're trusting that everybody's okay. I also received a text message today from a friend of mine, Kyle, that shared a video out of New York of a school, one of the public schools, canceling a father and daughter dance. And the reason why they canceled the father-daughter dance was because of the guidelines of the transgender laws that are having a stronghold on the school districts. And even President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., texted to the grotesque activities that are excluding fathers from having a dance with their daughters because of transgender equality issues. And I was thinking while I was hearing this news, scripture came into my mind. I want to share it with you out of Isaiah chapter 26, beginning in verse 20. And I'd like to discuss this today. Isaiah 26:20 says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So the question I really want to present is, when God says to enter into the chamber, when God says to Noah, enter into your ark, when Psalm 91 says, enter into the secret place of the Most High because of the calamities that are coming, is it necessary that at times people might say, well, you know, we're Christians, we're not afraid, we're not fearing anything, we're not afraid of any of this stuff, so, you know, why should I be concerned about, you know, entering into a chamber? Why don't we get out there and fight these issues? Why would I enter into the ark? I'm not afraid. God is with me. Or why should I enter into the secret place of the Most High? And sometimes it appears that we encounter those kind of spirits in people that they just don't budge in the realm of preparation or entering into the chamber or getting into the ark or preparing for the last days. Because the general attitude of many is, listen, we're not going to be here when bad stuff happens. God is good. He's watching over us. And so why should I do this? And again, in Isaiah 26:20, come and enter into your chamber, shut the doors, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. And people think, you know, I'm not going to hide. So what is the right thing to do? And I think the obvious answer to that is whatever God tells us to do, we should do. But how does this go against your grain? You know, or does it go against your grain? The idea of entering into a chamber and shutting the door and locking yourself in and hiding until the indignation be passed over. And that indignation is God's punishment upon the heathen nations that have sinned against him. Are we living in such a time? Should we be considering things like this? I know in Arkansas right now with the storm that is underway, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just a little ice and snow. But at the same time, I know people hunkered down. They got into their houses. You don't want to be out on the roads. You don't want to just be frolicking around and, you know, going without necessity anywhere because it really is creating some problems. I saw another video in Iowa where they had a massive pile up on one of the freeways, including with truck 24-wheelers and, you know, cars and people exiting their car. I mean, it was a lot of damage. And I think that was in Ames, Iowa this morning. So let's talk about that this morning and what your thoughts may be. Again, I hope we're coming through loud and clear. Normally on a Wednesday, Daniel Seckham joins me on this radio broadcast, and he still may do that, which would be awesome if I could get in touch with him. But again, this is a marvel of technology that we are sitting here in Mississippi on a little tiny computer without any microphone, without any headset. I'm simply talking into this computer and trusting that we're coming through loud and clear and that we could have a good dialogue this morning. So if you are at any point interested in sharing some news reports today or engaging this conversation with me concerning the need for preparation, the idea of getting yourself into that secret place, and I'm just going to let him know right now that your thoughts. And by the way, if you have a little report you'd like to share or we're coming through loud and clear, make sure that we do that. So again, I want to read the verse, Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter your chambers, shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also will disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Is this that kind of a moment? Or is this a time to fully engage our society and our culture in the cultural wars? Is this the time, as we talked about yesterday with Gideon's army, to, you know, to raise up those 300 men in cities across this nation? And I'll be honest with you, yesterday I had this epiphany while we were on radio and I was bringing up Gideon. I had this like little mini epiphany, and I know what a good idea is and a God idea. And the imperative is to be operating in the God ideas. But I did have a very strong impression yesterday as we were talking about Gideon and his 300 that I needed to contact men in different places. For example, Pastor Ted Marshall down in Florida, Don Huddle over in Indiana. And these men are military men, and they are ex-Vietnam veterans. And in their cities, they would gather together, 300, Kathy and Ken Bruns up in Idaho, that there would be a gathering in different cities across America where there would be an extraction of the, you know, there's so many churches and thousands of Christians, but drawing out like God did the 300 out of the 32,000 in Gideon's day. And I just felt for a moment that we needed to find those 300 men and women in each city that are the strong, brave, bold warriors in the spirit, knowing that our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and begin the work within our local cities, 300 in each city. I'd really like to talk to everyone about that as well. That may be this moment. That may be this moment, the time to really get engaged and get involved. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. So this is a time, and maybe you'd like to discuss that this morning. You know, the idea of raising up 300. Now, let me give you an example. My friend Ted Marshall, I haven't talked to him about this. This is Pastor Ted down in Tampa, Florida. We're going to actually be going right past him and probably going to have a meeting with him, just sit down and have some fellowship. And I would say to Pastor Ted, you already have a radio station. You have access to different churches in the region. What would it require for you to begin the process of gathering 300? You know, whether it's going into churches and calling those out that are like-minded, understanding the times that we're in, that our nation is drowning in perdition. And again, we go back to Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7, where God called Gideon at a time where his nation was building altars to Baal. The people were drowning in perdition of their day. Israel was not functioning as the nation it was intended to be. Well, is this a time for going into those cities, gathering those 300 through internet, through social media, through radio, television, going to different churches, sending invites, gathering together and beginning with prayer, and then getting the ideas of how God would utilize 300 in each city? And so Pastor Ted would begin that in Florida. We would help him raise up the 300. We would give them the information that God is giving, the prophetic word for this hour. And then Don Huddle in Indiana, and then Ken and Kathy in South Dakota, and maybe someone else that's listening in Arizona, Alabama, California, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Missouri, and just throughout this United States, a movement. And again, this is not a good idea. This is not something I'm just trying to kind of contriving. Yesterday, when we were talking about Gideon, it just really, you know, impressed me that if God was able to turn the nation and deliver the nation of Israel through 300 bold, brave warriors, maybe what God is saying, the impression is, this is a movement because our nation is much larger than Israel ever was. So this would be a time of gathering together the 300. Let's talk about that today. Is it time to gather the 300, or is it time to enter into the chamber? What time is it? And that's the prophetic key to understanding what we're supposed to be doing. Or is it both, that we should be entering into the chamber, shutting the door until the indignation be overpassed, understand and recognize this is a time of divine justice and judgment, where the gavel is coming down and a decree is being made upon the nations that crossed the point of no return. Now comes the judgment. But in the mix of that, in the interim, in the very midst of judgment, is this a time to gather together? Because Gideon gathered his 300 at a time when the nation was in very gross sin. So let's talk about it. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Again, we're broadcasting from Mississippi, and technology is useful to the purposes of God. Make sure you press 1 on the dial pad, and then we will continue to move forward in this conversation. So the number to call, 818-369-0326. Let's see how we do with bringing in Pastor Ken Wagner and saying, good morning, Pastor Ken. Can you hear me okay? And can we hear you okay?
Well, I hope you can hear me okay. Can you?
Yes, very good. Very clear.
You're actually clearer than you normally are on your regular broadcast this morning. So that's a good sign. You know, Pastor, on the subject that you're talking about, I can't help but think of this way, that the church has been the silent majority for a long, long, long time. God told us that we are the light of the world. We need to get out and be the light in these times and show the way and lead the way. Some may say, well, I don't know if I can go ahead and do that. It might cause problems. I might end up being sued. I might end up being problems of that nature. So be it. I mean, I look at my other brothers and sisters all across the world, the things that they have gone through on there, and they were a light. They helped many, many people by being out in the open and seeing the right way to go. If it's going to cause problems, well, then so be it. Let it be. That's the price that sometimes we have to pay for freedom and for salvation. And I just think that we need to be out front, like you're talking about, being able to lead, to be able to guide, to help all those. And all it takes is one person in an area to get things started, and it can just roll and roll on and on and on. And that's why I think what we should be doing, instead of hiding and going underground, we've done that too long.
Oh, I don't think anybody's hidden and gone underground yet, not in our country. I know it's happened before. But the question is, you know, the scripture that kept coming to mind through these last several months as we've been talking about the prophetic desire of our Father's heart, which is to pour out of his Spirit into vessels that are prepared for this moment, that he might accelerate his purpose in the earth, that he is going to quicken. We've heard these prophetic utterances, and they are very clear. While at the same time, we're seeing that the calamities continue to grow and spiral around the world. And so one of the main scriptures was, work while it's light, because the nighttime is coming where no man will be able to work. And so you're saying that you believe that this is the time of light. This is the time of moving forward and becoming aggressive and getting involved and shining the light and changing environments as we go. And yet on the other side of the moment, there is a time where God does say, after 100 years of preaching with Noah, enter into the ark. He says to his people in Psalm 91, enter into your secret place, into the secret place of the Most High. And then in Isaiah, enter into the chambers. And so while I personally don't know anybody that's, you know, gone into hiding in the United States, in the church in America yet, you know, this is the question that's on the line right now. Is God calling? And I would have to concur that God is calling his church to be positioned to receive from him an outpouring and an anointing, because I don't believe the church in its present condition has what it takes to contend with the powers that are here. I truly believe that every man and woman of God needs to be super empowered by the Holy Spirit, inspired, encouraged, exhorted, and anointed, and appointed, and functioned, and directed, and guided into what each individual is really called to do, not in just word, but in actual experience. And so I concur, and I would have to say that if we're going to compile it together, that this is a time to work while it's day, but the time will come when God will say, enter into the chambers. Your thoughts?
Well, you're right on, Pastor, but I'm leaning a lot more towards like the things like Matthew said in 5:14 and 5:15, that we are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and just hide it under the bushel. We need to be that light to be able to shine all the way through, and that's why I like the concept of Gideon's army. They not only were a light to the rest of the nation on there, but they were God's light sent in to set the world free. And, well, in this case, the Jews. But by our example, with the media that's out there, you draw so much attention to the different things that you're doing. We would be lights to the world if we take the time and let our light shine before men, as it says on that in Matthew again as well, too. So that's what I believe what we have to go ahead and do. No more burying our head in the sand. Those days are over. It's time to come out and do everything that we have to go ahead and do. And if you think about it, look what some of these homosexual groups did and these advocates for it. They came out, and look at the results of what has happened. They touched the world by what they have done. Aren't we more powerful than they are? We need to be out there in the open, let people see and know what we're about and what God is about and what he's doing.
Well, again, I concur that there's a season for that. There's a season for everything. And yet we're hearing things in the days that we're living in that we're moving towards a great tribulation. We're moving towards a time when it'll be like the days of Noah, which God will tell his people to enter into the ark and shut the door. We're reading out of Isaiah that there's a time that God will say, enter into your chamber, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. So there's a real degree of wisdom that must be employed for God's people to know what time to do. I mean, if you stick your head out at a time when you're not supposed to, it could get cut off. And yet you don't want to be hiding at the same time when it's a time to go forth and shine as lights. However, we're on radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on Omega Radio. We are sending forth the message and we are declaring the word of the Lord everywhere we go. So we know we're doing our job as lights and we're wanting to promote God's purpose and cause in the earth, while at the same time navigating very carefully because persecution has begun in our generation around the world, and the understanding that persecution is going to come again, and then the knowledge that God has called us years ago to prepare, you know, for the times that we're entering into. So whatever each individual has to do with their remaining moment of letting their light shine, there has to be an understanding that there will be a time where there will be an entering into a place of safety and a place of the ark. And what I would like to know is for someone like yourself or others that may be listening in, you know, you have a light. What is it that you're going to do with your light? What are you going to do with the anointing you have right now to go and impact your city?
That is something that each individual needs the guidance from the Lord on. The basic premise that has to go along with this is that we are truly seeking the Lord and finding out what our responsibilities are, what we are supposed to go ahead and do on here. Years ago, Peggy and I were very much involved with the crisis pregnancy centers. We counseled a lot of young ladies that came in that were pregnant. We offered our home up and had them come in and stay with us until they ended up delivering their child and either keeping the child or giving the child up for adoption. Today, it's even more so because it's more pronounced out there than ever, the evil that is out there. And we need to go and do exactly what the Lord says. Now, there will be a time where it would be wise to go underground, so to speak, but I don't see it happening right now. I think the light needs to be shown brightly more and more out there. And then later on, as the Lord speaks, is like Peter did. I mean, Peter ended up yelling and screaming in the temple, preaching again afterwards, and they threw him in jail. But the Spirit of God ended up leading him out later on so he can continue on the work that he did. So there's a time and purpose for all things, and right now I can't conceive of going underground rather but being above ground broadcasting and doing the things that need to be done so people can hear and know the word, and then later very probably go underground.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus was very clear in all of his commentary on the last days that we need to pay attention to the signs. And he said, when you saw these things, wars, rumors of wars, when you hear about famines and earthquakes and all these different pestilences and troubles, he said, when you see these signs, make sure you know, especially when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, that it is time to flee to the mountains. And I kind of bear witness to the fact that there were people over the last 2,000 years that, you know, many times within the church age, that people were in the during the church age, they were involved in being salt, they were being light, and yet there were many times throughout where the church was going, like the Ukrainian revolution, for example, or the underground church in China, or the Bolshevik Revolution, or during the war, Nazi Germany, where 25 million were killed, and Christians, 50 million were killed in the Bolshevik Revolution. There's always a time for God's people to recognize that it's time to go underground. Now, you were saying that you used to run a crisis center and you used to do certain things. And I think that the last, you know, so many years, many people within the church were doing great things, but everything has kind of shifted into a moment right now where around the world, God has been telling people about preparing refuges. God has been warning people to get themselves prepared and get ready for what is coming down the pike. And so the question that we have out on the floor today is, what do we do with the light that we have? And I want to make this point. In the scriptures, Jesus said that he was going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the light that was shining in the days of Jesus Christ was to gather together the lost sheep. He told them literally not to go after the others. Now, light, we have to be very careful and understand what the purpose of the light of this moment is all about. I mean, if the wise virgins are going to get oil for their lamp to let their light burn, that is not to go and evangelize the world. In the story of the 10 virgins, the light that the wise virgins were having were so that they could journey into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They were not on the earth or in the world to be a light to the nations at that point. At that point, it was to guide them into the safety and habitation of Jesus Christ himself. The foolish virgins, they didn't have any oil. They were, you know, doing their thing. We know that. So we need to rightly interpret what the purpose of God's end time outpouring is, what God's purpose in baptizing his end time ecclesia, his end time army. And, you know, even with Gideon, it was all about saving Israel, the people of God. It was never about the nations around them, you know, trying to win them. Now, for 2,000 years during the church age, there has been a tremendous light that has gone forth to the ends of the earth to win men's souls. Now, we live in a country, the final bastion of the light of Christ, where that light has been fully rejected by the homosexual agenda, by the abortionists, by governmental leaders, by even people in the church that have simply become religious rather than having a pure relationship with the master. And so, and I say this in all sincerity, not just for argument's sake, but what is the purpose of this light that God wants to give the wise virgins at the end of the age? And again, is it time to enter into the chamber and shut the door, or is it time to arise and shine, for your light has come? And if it is to arise and shine because your light has come, we recognize that on the other side of the day, a gross darkness will descend upon the minds of the world. So then what is the light for? The light is for God's people to do something, to journey somewhere, to have that path lit. And it's not for the darkened world that has rejected, blasphemed, and rebelled against the message of Jesus Christ. Your thoughts, Pastor Ken?
Well, again, I would say that same thing. It's really what the Lord is speaking to us. In our prayer time, if we're sincere with the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will give us the guidance. He did that with Gideon. Right on through, like you explained earlier. He told them what he had to go ahead and do and how to go ahead and follow through with it. Now, I believe it's the same thing with us, because we don't know, we don't have that actual wisdom knowing what is going to happen, when it is going to transpire, and we have to be dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. And right now, me personally, I still see us as being a light. You are a light. You're on the radio every day on here doing these very things. You are broadcasting the word of God and the light and the things that God wants us to go ahead and do through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He hasn't told us to go underground at this point in time, but rather, I believe, to be that light boldly so that everyone can hear and understand and begin to question and do the same things themselves. So I believe it's really going to be up to the good Lord to depend and tell us when it is time to go underground, but I don't think the time is right now.
Pastor Ken, I feel like our broadcast, the Omega Radio Network, while it's global in scope, I believe that we're actually broadcasting from underground, if you want to use those terms. I mean, it's not like in, during World War II or some other time when there was an actual underground situation, but we are broadcasting a message to the ends of the earth, to the people of God, to prepare and get ready for the calamities that are going to strike the earth, predominantly here in the United States of America. We're not standing up, with 501c3 and corporations with large mega churches and building empires and all that. We are an underground people, if you will, out in the wilderness that are calling people to the wilderness because of the times that we are witnessing that are ahead of us. So what I'd like to do is continue to dialogue about this issue. I think it's very important, and I do believe we have the wisdom of God. I don't believe any time a Christian should ever say that we do not have the wisdom of God. We do have that wisdom. It's within us. We just have to dig down deep and get the mind of Christ operating so that we do know what to do. But everything that we've been talking about over the last several years, I mean, we're going back many, many, many years. We have been talking about some very important things of preparation in the times that we're coming. But I want to enjoin into our conversation, Pastor Ken, an area code coming from 818. Let's take the call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network based in sunny Las Vegas. It's very bright and early. I'm on the road. I'm in Mesa, Arizona, and I was just listening to you brothers really rightly divide the word. And I want to let you know I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary of being in business. And after being a pastor and for 10 years, I realized I had to get off from behind the pulpit. Right now, there's Wi-Fi and these blog talks, podcasts. Google is paying young college kids $13 to $18 per hour to listen to these podcasts. So when people have dialects, different accents, and if somebody says some slang, like if they say folk and it comes up on your telephone as four, y'all are placing a mark for the Great Commission and the time capsules for error. They would dig deep, 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 dig, 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 and plant a seed. But now with this Wi-Fi, everybody's on demand. When we grew up, you had to be in front of the TV at 8 o'clock to watch the Cosby Show. But now you can watch it 50,000 times in a row. You can fast forward, watch it. You can watch a full-length football game in 30 minutes. I say that to say this. Y'all are doing something special, and it's not falling on deaf ears. As y'all's light shine, y'all are setting up, I would like to call it pretty much like a minefield. The people don't know that they're stepping on all these lights, but once they get sucked into the first 5 minutes of the show and the Holy Spirit hit their heart and attack their spirit, it's a done deal. They ain't going to be with you forever. So continue to do the Great Commission, bringing the word of God to the people that know and to the people that don't know. Sometimes, even after pastoring for 10 years, I have to sit back and listen and get a reminder just because I know what I know, what I learned in theology school, being on the street ministry. It's a different day on this digital Wi-Fi. Some people, they fake like they other people. There's some people actually really be the people. But at the end of the day, we have the power to plant a seed every day somewhere. So no matter what you feel like you're not doing, God works in all things. So it might look like it's not working. Then from nothing comes a whole nother revelation. So y'all keep pressing forward. Once again, my name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I love y'all.
Hey, Pastor Don, I really appreciate the call. I'm marveling. I'm thinking about while you're talking about Wi-Fi, how God is using technology at this time to get his message all over the world. I mean, really, he is just bombarding every area of the world. I'm actually, my wife and I are sitting in a hotel room in Mississippi right now because we're traveling, and I'm on a little device, and we're broadcasting. You're in Las Vegas picking up the broadcast. And what I'd like to do, thanks for tuning into the broadcast today. We're asking some pretty serious questions. I think we're living in a volatile time, probably the richest time on the face of the earth for God's people, powered with a fresh baptism that'll probably double portion what happened 2,000 years ago in an upper room, but there's a purpose within it. What are we to do with the light that we have? And the virgins were using their light to journey through the darkness to their destination. And what is the purpose of our light? But God is using this technology to get this message out. What an awesome call. I'd love for you to contact us, and I want to talk to you a little bit more in the days ahead, if that's okay.
100%. And I want to answer that question, and this is from my standpoint, me looking out as a pastor. Everybody is individually here to work for their own anointed purpose. When we take a vehicle, when you turn that key, it starts all these wonderful things happen. When a car is moving forward, there's certain processes and certain things that has to be done. And then when the car is stopped, the car is still running. So I say all that with our light, we're on the road that God is laying out, that he laid out for us in grace. That's what we have. We here. We're able to endure. As we drive, he gives us gas with the Holy Spirit. But all of our light is us finding which mechanism and how to fine-tune it. It might be somebody in our lives that we have to give a word to. It might be somebody that's working hard in one field, but they need to be in another field, and we help them transition. Or it might be a situation that somebody that we really love really needs for us to love on them because they haven't been loved like we can love them. So all these little things, you never know which part of the car you're going to be on this day, but every piece of the car, even the headlight, has to work, especially keeping into the actual answer to the question. Headlights have to work if it's completely dark, or you will run into anything that's in front of you. So again, you finding your, that's why we're here. We here to keep looking until we find it. And it's like, I got this old saying, once you pay the rent, 30 days again is going to be paid. No matter what you do, it's always going to be some mountain to climb, something to fight. But because of God, he's going to build you up. And the more you work out the faith, it grows like a muscle. Yes, you need the faith of a mustard seed. But if you pray without never getting up and going and let that prayer work and believing God's going to do it, it's not a prayer. It's just talking. It's not a real prayer. You get what I'm saying? You got to pray and give it to God and say, okay, it's in those 24 vials in front of him. I know my prayer went up to where it's supposed to go. Now I have to go forth and look for what's next. And that's fine.
Well, absolutely.
I really appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Pastor Don, I want to ask you one more question before you go. Yesterday, we were ministering on the story of Gideon. And, you know, what the Spirit of God does, he brings these stories to life and he makes them relevant for our moment. And I felt an inclination, a real impression after the broadcast yesterday, that maybe the Holy Spirit is wanting to connect with certain men in different cities across this nation because of the times that we're living in. And each one of those men take a lead role in gathering 300 so that they could gather together and begin to impact their region in a more demonstrative way. How does that resonate with you as a pastor, hearing something like that? If you were to rally out of all the thousands of Christians in Las Vegas to extract 300 that are ready and focused and understanding what this moment is, what is your response to something like that? Just curious.
Well, when you've been hearing this bell in the background, it took me 5 years to get that bell. And I told my wife to buy me a bell 5 years ago. We just have so much stuff going on. It took me 5 years. But you just brought confirmation. Now, to answer your question, God sent me here for a reason, and really, like, it's moving. If you feel the anointing and you understand spirit, wind, and vibration, please grab a pen and pay attention. This is really detailed information. I told you when I first started speaking, I've been in the entertainment industry for 20 years. I was taught all my life. I was drilled into it. All my uncles, my father, all entrepreneurs, all CEOs, they said from 0 to 20, you're supposed to figure out what you want to do. 20 to 40, you're supposed to work in it. And from 40 to 60, you're supposed to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Well, I did the entertainment business, and I'm pretty much at the 20-year mastery. I've been doing it for 20 years. In my 20 years, I've lived in 40 out of 50 states. When I talk about live, I'm talking about got lights cut on, got water, been locked up. I've been married 4 times. This is my 4th marriage. So now I'm about to turn 40 in March. 2018 is a year of completion. So for the last 3 years, I've been aligning 300 people, just like Gideon. in the Bible. Going back, take it back to the Word. I needed to send a small crew so I could show y'all my power. I don't want it to be a large crew because that's not going to hold any weight with anybody. But if they do with a small number, only 300, it's going to last for the ages. And here we are. Here it is, 2018. We still talking about these 300 people. So as you speak and you talk about the 300, I have 300 members and we're the winning team. Now, with me, I'm going to say some strong things and I might offend somebody, but we can't control spirits. When you go to the liquor store, it says fine wine and spirits. When you go to some churches, the Holy Spirit. We have 300 winning team members, people that's been in business 2 years, 10 days, 5 years, 50 years. People that actually is in the church, not in the church. They're gangbangers. People are drug dealers. People are atheists. People are devil worshipers. The whole idea of the winning team is we understand there's one thing that we all lack. That's resources. That's knowledge. That's who to work with. And at the end of the day, accountability. Once the money runs out, that's when you really see how well the relationship is. And if a relationship is never tested, you can never really build after it has been broken. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross, because once he died on the cross, he broke his relationship with God in order for all of our sins to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. That's why when they say redeemed. So with the winning team, right, we realize that there's a lot of markets out there that are suffering, and especially in Mississippi. You know how it is. It's hard to get major artists to come to Mississippi because they feel like it's not represented properly. So what we did was we came up with the Winning Team Global Connections Tour. We're going to go to the top 22 markets, highest crime, highest violence, no media coverage. We're going to purchase an abandoned building. We're going to go and hire within a 50-mile radius the people that that have felonies. Now, we don't deal with child molesters. That's me. That's my personal thing. It is my right as the leader of this ship to say I don't want to deal with it. But if you If you had a larceny,
so Don, what you're saying, Don, let me just interject for just a moment here. Mm-hmm. What I hear you saying is that the light that God has given you is the work that you're about to do in your calling, and that really helps with us what we're doing to understand the times that we're in. So God has given you vision. God has given you light. God has given you a calling. He's given you a particular direction to move in. You're moving out in that, and it's going to require that baptism, that power, that energy of the Holy Spirit of God, the enabler to do the great task that God has called you to do. Man, I appreciate
Let me give you one more thing before I go, and it's really short. This is the idea. We're on a 365 days of radio business training program. The goal is to be on 1,000 radio shows. This is 677, and we've been on shows meeting a lot of people. As we take down the information, we're going to have not only our database of 300, but the 1,000 radio networks across the globe, blog, talk, podcast, speakers. So I definitely want you a part of this situation, because what's going to happen, the same way that I'm building it, I want you to use this as a template so you can build it and watch how I make the mistakes, iron sharpens iron, so you can go ahead and set forth what you got, because what you're doing is you're taking the same ideal I'm doing with my 300, but you're going to do it with 300 million.
Amen. Well, we have a global internet radio station called Omega Radio. And if you go to the website, omegaradio.org, you'll see what we're doing, Don. I want to thank you for calling in, Pastor, and I appreciate you. God bless your heart, my friend.
God bless you too, brother. I wouldn't miss you. I'm going to be back.
Amen. I will do so. I will do so. Pastor Ken, what an interesting call from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, it sure is. I like the illustration of the car that Pastor brought up on here. And, you know, every car needs to be tuned periodically as well to make sure it's in top running condition. And even in addition to that, what kind of car are you driving? Are you driving a small little Fiat you can get one or two people in? Or are you driving a big bus that holds 40, 50, 60 people in? Now, that is the leading that we need from the Spirit of God and what we're doing. And each of us need to be fine-tuned accordingly and do it the very way he said. Now, we could be going at 5 miles an hour. We could be going at 100 miles an hour. Again, all the dictates from the Spirit of God and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And that's, I think, the key to this whole issue that you're talking about. So it's going to be individualized, and we can also be a part of a greater thing. And that's just as important as well.
Yeah, and I appreciate this conversation because, you know, it's never comfortable when you're dealing with two different sides of an issue and people have their ideas and their opinions. And I believe it's so important for each one of us right now to understand what God is doing. And I believe he's making his heart known that there is coming a spiritual baptism that is going to eclipse everything and anything that has ever existed within the church age over the last 2,000 years, including the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost. I really believe this. And yet I see this pure baptism of holy fire igniting within each and every individual an ability. And we go back to, 3.5 months ago when this whole thing began with a prophetic vision that Elijah was given food to eat that caused him to run for 40 days. So there was a divine acceleration within his metabolism. There was some kind of chemical reaction within him from the food that he ate that he was able to run for 40 days, but he didn't have direction and he wound up in a cave. And so God finds him in the cave and then he appoints him to do something specific. I want you to go anoint the king of Syria and the king of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And then get Elisha to be, you know, take your place as the prophetic mantle. And so now he has direction. So I think there's a lot of people ready to run. I believe there's going to be a super empowerment for God's people to do certain things, but we need direction. We need wisdom. We need to know what it is that God wants to get done in this world right now. We know through artificial intelligence, we know that the design of evil is growing exponentially in the world in which we live. We understand this. We're not going to stop the darkness. The darkness is going to get grosser. It is going to get more intense, and it's going to take over the souls of men. We know the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine into their hearts. So there is a growing darkness. There is a deep darkness, a blindness on the minds of men from knowing what it's all about. I believe the wisdom of God, the light of Christ, the oil of the Holy Spirit that keeps our lamp burning in this wise virgin moment is to enable us to move in the direction that has substance, that is specific, and that is altogether a part of what God is doing today. If you've been listening to the broadcast today, we're talking about, you know, what to do with the light. There is a time in Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 26:20, we use that example, that God says to his people, enter into your chamber, shut the door, hide yourself, as it were, for a moment until the indignation be passed over, for God is coming out to punish the world. And so what is it that God is saying to you today? What about this time of light? What about this time of entering into the chamber, into the ark, going into the secret place? Number to call is 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We are broadcasting from the great state of Mississippi today as we're traveling down the road. Arkansas was hit with a quarter inch of ice, as I understand it. And it's a very interesting time where we are right now. So if you have a question, a comment, something you'd like to share in the broadcast, please press 1 on your dial pad. Pastor Ken and I are here. We got to hear from a pastor out in Las Vegas today, which was awesome, Pastor Don. And Pastor Ken, we're just going to keep on keeping on until we have the exact plan. You're a military man. You know about military. You know what it means to receive instructions that you as a military man just don't go out there and do what you think you want to do or what you think you'd like to do. You are under absolute instruction and to know the will of your generals, to know the will of your commander in chief. And I know that this end time Gideon army is going to be men and women that have that exact obedience. And so what time is it? Pastor Ken, back to you.
My flesh tells me it's time to go hide and bury my head under the ground. But, you know, like with that ostrich, it's funny when they do that, their whole rest of their body is exposed as well. True, we have the commander-in-chief telling us what we need to do, where we need to go. And there is sometimes what we used to say safety in numbers. But with the tremendous onslaught that's going on, we need a lot more than that. We need the wisdom of God as never before to when to hide, when to speak, when to shed the light, when to go underground, and do all the things that we're talking about on here. Just one other comment that you made on here when you were talking about what God had said earlier about going underground to the danger passed over. The problem this time is that this next attack or this next retribution, so to speak, from God that's coming down on this earth for all the ungodly things that have been done is going to be the final one. So we really need to shed that light now and then be ready for what is coming.
Well, you talk about a retribution at that level. You talk about something swirling in the atmosphere. And this is what we would like to get across to our listeners as we were having this general conversation. We want to get a little bit more specific now. We believe that this nation and the world in which we live, our generation globally around the world, that there is a tremendous spiritual battle being fought for the souls of men. We understand that. But we also believe that God has decreed a thing over our nation, and that the decree that has come from the highest court in the universe, with the gavel coming down, the sentence being given, is that America has crossed the point of no return. And we heard that message in 2003. It is now 2018. 15 years has gone by, and America has never returned to its original intent, its destiny, its heritage. And that is a further witness that during the last 15 years, we've seen the Katrinas. We've seen all the different events that have happened within our nation. In 2008, the economic crash, the collapse. We saw the hurricanes, we saw the tornadoes, we saw the earthquakes, we saw the fires and the mudslides. And, you know, you just add infinitum to that, and it's just, it's never stopped. It's never ceased. There's always been a labor pang, one labor pain after another. The labor pains have never ceased, and now is coming the birthing season. And I believe that this cycle of judgment that we are in at this point is the one that's going to birth the final collapse of our nation. Now, that is the unpopular message that we are sensing from the Lord. But the purpose of declaring these things is not to fearmonger or to just spew out different ideas of our own. The idea is to warn God's people that whatever your plans are, whatever you're doing in your life, it's time to really get sober-minded, because a generation of over 50 years of blasphemy, 50 years of pointing the finger in the face of a holy God and waving the fist in the face of a holy God, 50 years of shedding innocent blood, 50 years of rebellion against God, which is the sin of witchcraft. God doesn't just wink at these things, and he's been calling to the nation to repent for 50 years. Through many different voices, the church gave up its compass to the nation for the limelight of great success and mega churches and money. Everything has been, you know, big churches, big money, big business, materialism. But the church in general has lost its compass. There hasn't been a directive given to the church and what to do. And so the church has grown up within an environment, within a generation like Lot, who grew up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet the very righteousness of God that we have, which is a greater righteousness than what Lot had, our righteousness comes directly from Jesus Christ. We're not seeing too many Christians vexed like righteous Lot was. And that's concerning, because our righteousness should be more vexed. There should be more of a lamentation, more of a heart cry for what has happened in our country. And we're not weeping. We're still looking how to, you know, make a lot of money and grow up a big church. And we're kind of living like life is usual. You know, we want to just keep on doing something that, you know, affects, you know, our lives somehow. But I just believe that this moment is not about us. I believe that this moment is about our Father. My incredible desire is for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want the Lord to come, and I want him to bring his kingdom into this earth. But I recognize through reading the Bible, I'm not an expert, but I do know how to read, and I've been reading the book for 36 years. I've been a pastor for 26 years, and I'm just learning, scratching the proverbial surface. But I have read in my Bible that before the Lord returns, there's going to be the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known, meaning the greatest pressure. We're living in a day right now where globalist and globalization is making its move against this move for independent sovereignty as a Christian nation. Donald Trump wants to make America great again. I think a lot of people that our nation want America to be great again, but we understand our greatness did not come from with ourselves. It came from our faith in Jesus Christ, exalting him, honoring him, and following his lead. But, you know, you can't make America great just by financial methods and methodologies. America will never be great again until America makes Jesus Christ the crowning glory of our nation again. And until that time, we're going to continue to sink into the apostasy, into the compromise, into the great falling away. And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, great pressure, thlipsis, tribulation is coming upon our nation. We need to prepare for it. And that's why we're here, to decree and to declare the things that are coming down the pike. Pastor Ken, I'll give you the final word before we have to get rolling here today.
Pastor, the things you're saying are right on. And just going back to the militaristic terms again, when the general sees what is going on in the battle, he knows where there's weaknesses, where they have to be reinforced. He knows when we have to slide and go to different areas, when we have to retreat. They know all of these things based upon the evidence and things that are coming forward. And that is what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is doing. Yeah, basically, we can have a mighty army of Gideonites on here, but we know how we have to be deployed, where we need to go, what we need to do, where we need the strength and power. And those are the issues that I believe God is directing today. So your concept of Gideon's in the world today and having the strength and the power and the might to go forth is great. But we need the wisdom and the Spirit of God on how to move and when to move and how to do it.
Pastor Ken, I couldn't agree any more. And what we need more than anything at this time is to understand our spiritual rights in the spiritual kingdom, because we are not wrestling against the intelligence of human reasoning alone. We are dealing with spiritual intelligence that has been on this earth for thousands of years, that has figured out the mindset of a fallen humanity. And only those who are operating in the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, the intelligence of the Lord of Jesus Christ, and the Word of God are going to have the ability to stand in the days that we're living in. Through artificial intelligence, they have this Sophie that's now the first citizen of Saudi Arabia, who's out intelligencing everybody that she's talking with. Artificial intelligence, what is behind it is a strong satanic intelligence. We are going to need the wisdom of God. And to talk more about this today, our particular need for spiritual intelligence to get victory over the powers of darkness, is Patricia Joy Xavier. She's the author of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, a deliverance that is controversial, because the deliverance that Patricia is talking about in her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is a deliverance for those people that believe in Jesus Christ. You see, the controversy is simply this. A lot of people in Christendom do not believe that a Christian could be demon-possessed, or a Christian could have an indwelling evil spirit in their soul realm. Well, we contend that they say that how can a Christian have a demon when the Holy Spirit is in them? Well, we maintain, well, how could a Christian ever get sick if the healer is in them? We believe that there are many Christians that are having demonic problems and that they are not released fully to go forth and do what God has called them to do. So we believe in a prophetic moment of divine deliverance for God's people from the spiritual enslavement that the enemy has brought into their lives through generational curses, bloodline curses, iniquitous curses. In other words, curses that have come in through kinds of sin. Well, it's time for deliverance. And once again, to talk about this, Patricia Joy Xavier, she is the author of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Patricia Joy, welcome to the broadcast. God bless you. How are you today?
I am doing just wonderful and very interested in what has been spoken of today. Pastor Vincent and Pastor Ken, what direction should we take? And that's the big question. And what we also are looking at is discerning the times we are in. You know, there's multitude of deceptions and degrees of false doctrines. It is Satan's opportunity to indoctrinate with false doctrine. And 1 Timothy 4:1 warns us of an increase in doctrinal errors. and they are promoted by deceiving and seducing spirits. Yes, spirits are involved. They are designed to distract Christians from the true moving of the Spirit and to bring division and cause confusion in the church. And we cannot afford that at this time. We must be aware of the workings of the evil one and how we are afflicted by it. And a compulsion to be obsessed with a certain doctrine espoused by a group of denominations, and as once saved, always saved, or praying the dead out of a state of purgatory, and many other false doctrines found in religious denominations, causes the person receiving the error to be unteachable. And we see this much in the church as pastors. A common flaw of these groups is to put emphasis on fleshy and social activities as a way to be spiritual. What we must be careful of is being deceived in these last days. That is the truth of the power of God to reveal the doctrines that have been deceptive in this time. And that is being a light. That is going forward and exposing the darkness. And this is one of the ways we do it. We do it by knowing and telling the truth. And the truth will set us free, as I said so many times before. The messages preached in these churches is only about God's love and kindness and how much he wants you to have a good life and be happy. And this is true. He does. But there is never any mention of sin, repentance, and the reality of hell, or God's judgment on those who do not repent and turn from their sinful ways. They make people feel comfortable in the church by making them comfortable in their sin. Now, look, we were talking about being a light. What we heard spoken of from Pastor Vincent and Pastor Ken is to be a light to the world. Well, we are going to be that light, but by being that light, what we must learn to do is to expose the darkness. Would you not say that's true? So going back, they make people in the church feel comfortable in their sin. This is a great deception, buddy. This is a great deception, folks. They give them a false peace by telling them that either they can live in their sin without repentance, or that whatever makes them happy or feel good is not sinful at all. Now, you may say, well, my church doesn't do that. Listen carefully and be sure that the doctrine you're being taught is correct and right in the eyes of God. Most of them are teaching that the presence of God's grace is a license to sin. And sometimes it's called easy grace, easy believism. And this false doctrine implies that all one must do for right standing with God is to believe in Jesus, whichever Jesus you feel comfortable with, pray a prayer at some point, and then resume control of one's life with the assurance of heaven at the end. This result is a congregation that believe that just because they attend a feel-good meeting at the church once a week, they are saved and will someday inherit the kingdom of God. May I also warn you that this is one of the reasons we are feeling or knowing or experiencing the judgment of God in the United States of America. Truthfully and honestly, I blame the churches. I blame the church, not the government, but the church for the weak, watered-down word that has been given to the people of the United States of America by certain ministers, that and certain doctrines that have been taught in schools of theology and continue on from one church doctrine to another to impress upon the people a false doctrine, and many of them, the ministers themselves, believe it. But they never go outside of their doctrine and read for themselves by the work of the Holy Spirit as to how to be to their congregations. There's a price to be paid for that. And Paul dealt with this thinking in Romans 6. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus warned that those who adopt the doctrine that they did not know him at all. If you adopt false doctrines, you're not going to really know him. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 states that those who are in Christ become new creatures. That transformation in response to a believer's faith in Christ changes the outward behaviors. To know and love Christ is to be obeying him. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why hasn't the church risen up to be the light they should be in the dark, deep state government that has aroused their spirits to become controlling? Why have we, the church, allowed such a thing? I believe it's because of the false doctrine that has been taught. And I believe that is the darkness that has come upon the world. I believe the judgment starts in the church and then it will continue in the world. Why? Why first in the church? Because we are to be the light of the world. And so as that light, we can preach all we want and teach all we want. But if it isn't the true word of God, if it isn't that razor's edge truth of doctrine, they are going to be weak and they are not going to rise up and they are going to be dismayed. Is that what we're looking for in this day? No. We are looking for a church that is victorious, or God is waiting for a church. And he's pulling them in from all over the world, east, north, west, south, all over the world to come together as the true body, the overcoming body, the elect of God, the very description of the church that is victorious. Now, here is another problem that I have found that operates in Christians by false doctrines. If you have asked yourself if the common symptoms mentioned above that I spoke of above stem from spiritual or psychological problems, I will demonstrate through Scripture that they are in fact spiritual problems, meaning demonic, and then prove that the term psychological problems in which you hear in the church today, almost on a continuous basis, is a false concept due to error. I heard psychological concepts in my own church being used by people who should know the difference between psychological concepts and ideas and spiritual concepts and ideas and problems. Let me clarify this. Most of this error stems from the practice between the psyche mind in the church, depression, and destruction. It becomes a problem of the mind, I agree. So let us agree that man is spirit, mind, and body, and the Bible tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice it does not say, if we live in the mind, let us also walk in the mind. So it is necessary for us to live and walk in the Spirit. And you know, to establish the truth that man's afflictions are spiritual and not psychological, let us take a look at good spiritual fruit as described in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I bring this up often because the crux of it, in this list of the fruits of the Spirit, you will see that the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. The second is joy. The third is peace. The fourth is patience. The fifth is kindness. The sixth is goodness. The seventh is faithfulness. The eighth is gentleness. And the ninth is self-control. Now, opposite of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you will find the corresponding fruits or ruling spirits of the unholy spirit. First, you will see hate as the opposite of love, love being holy and hate unholy. Second, mourning is the opposite of joy, joy being holy and mourning unholy. Third, strife is the opposite of peace, peace being holy, strife being unholy. Are these mental problems or are these spiritual problems? Fourth, patience is the opposite of patience, patience being holy, impatience being unholy. Are we going to begin to look at this in the right spirit and attitude? Let's look at the fifth. Fifth is brutality, is the opposite of kindness. Kindness is being holy, brutality is unholy. The sixth is evil. Evil is the opposite of goodness. Goodness being holy, evil unholy. The seventh is doubt. Doubt is the opposite of faithfulness. Faithfulness being holy and doubt unholy. You cannot be please God without faith. You cannot enter in without faith. Eighth, roughness is the opposite of gentleness. Gentleness being holy, roughness being unholy. Ninth, rebellion is the opposite of self-control. Self-control being holy, rebellion unholy. These are the nine fruits or ruling spirits of the unholy spirit. Now, are these mental problems or are these spiritual problems? Spiritual problem is what takes root to bring destruction upon the mind, which is the soul. It is synonymous. And the heart, which is your thought process. With each of these ruling spirits of Satan, beginning with hate, you're going to find out that the following lesser or accompanying spirits that are linked with and under the command of the ruling spirit, for instance, the spirit of hate, is the spirit ruling over the major spirits of mourning, grief, strife, impatience, brutality, evil, doubt, roughness, and rebellion. The Lord showed me these things. Then under each one of these major spirits, there is another order of lesser spirits. With the spirit of mourning, you will always find the spirits of depression, sorrow, grief, sadness, and despair. The ruling spirit of strife will bring with it turmoil, conflict, anger, confusion, and bitterness. The spirit of impatience will always bring with it the lesser spirits of irritability, frustration, intolerance, anxiousness, and temper. The spirit of brutality will be accompanied by the spirits of ruthlessness and meanness and savagery, which we're seeing a lot of lately, and viciousness. With the controlling spirit of evil, you will feel and find the spirits of pride, wickedness, depravity, jealousy, and murder. The spirit of doubt will bring with it the spirits of unbelief, distrust, fear, and suspicion, which brings a lack of confidence. The spirit of roughness will bring with it the spirit of coarseness, pitilessness, vulgarity, crudeness, and abuse. The spirit of rebellion will be accompanied by the spirits of lust, filth, greed, gluttony, drugs, and alcohol. Are these mental problems or are these the root of spiritual problems? The spiritual problems are causing what we consider in psychology mental problems, but they are not. They are truly, truly spiritual at the root. This is something that so often the Lord has revealed to me, listening to ministers and others with their concepts and ideas. And if they don't have it correct, they are getting themselves into the thought line of the world. And this has happened within this country. So you can see that the negative characteristics mentioned above, which are labeled common symptoms, are not psychological in nature. They are spiritual. Let's get away from Freud and concepts and ideas of psychological problems when all along the church is dealing with spiritual problems, in which most of them don't want to get involved with as demonic. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of it, and they truly do not understand that the Lord, when he walked the face of the earth, was involved with demonic problems, casting them out. And they believe that was for them because of false doctrines in those days, 2,000 years ago, and not for the church today. Come on. Look at the problems the church is involved with now. Look what's happened and is coming upon the earth with such strength and power of darkness, it'll boggle the imagination. We're there. And it's been prophesied to happen. And again, I don't blame government because they are only being used. You know, if you don't have a redeemed heart, you could be in all status of government, as president even. But if your heart isn't redeemed, what good are you going to do for yourself or for any United States of America or for any other individual you know? You're not going to do any good. A man's heart must be redeemed before he takes any office. And that's why the Lord claimed in Isaiah that the government of God is on his shoulders, and the true government of God will rise up into position. But they must understand and know spiritual warfare. They must understand how the demonic works before they are in position of any nation, any place, any time. And this has not happened. That's why we're in the position we are in. Oh, we saw little lights and glows of it here and there in government, but the darkness has been greater. The last five presidents have been under the control of the deep, dark state. The last five presidents have been under the control of the Illuminati, under the control of the very shadowed government. They've been under control. Let's take a look more of the fruits of the Spirit. And it should be evident in our lives, and it should be evident, the fruits of the Spirit should be evident in anyone that is taking position in government. And as you can see, that has not happened. We are hoping for Trump, President Trump, to be the last Trump to call the nations into obedience, or I should say the states into obedience, and therefore the nations of the world coming under that call. But if they come under the call of the UN, they'll be under the call of unredeemed men. And if a heart is not redeemed, it cannot know the truth. So it will be either one or the other, holy or unholy. We will either be walking in agreement with God or with Satan. There is no in between, folks. There is no in between. So I named the fruits of the Spirit And I named the fruits of the unholy spirit. And the unholy spirit is coming from Satan and his cohorts. They are unholy, they are unclean, and they have brought their uncleanness into the church. The church has not recognized most of what took place and is taking place. Few ministers understand the work of deliverance. That's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Notice that I gave it somewhat of a government title, the Christian Bill of Rights. But as we have seen, the Bill of Rights in government have been slowly dissolving into nothingness. But we have something. We have the Christian Bill of Rights. And I wrote my book to make us aware, the church in general aware, that there is a higher realm of the spirit we have been called to. And we have not been walking in that realm. Some have. They are few and far between, and they will be God's elect, and they will be the remnant of God. They will be the bride of Christ. They will be the manifested sons of God. They will be the incredible overcomer or overcomers, and God is calling us to that now. That is the light he desires us to walk in. And by touching others with the truth, with the light of Christ, they will see and know what we have been endowed with. As we recognize who we are in Christ, what he has called us to do, the true kingdom teaching is all about, because we're walking now as the true body of Christ, for those who hear the call, and not only hear the call, but have been chosen for that narrow pathway, we are walking now in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is within all who understand the truth. But in understanding the truth, as we minister to others, the kingdom of God is being established on earth, slowly but surely. But now it's being quickened. And the reason it's being quickened is many Christians are getting a hold of the truth of what I'm speaking of, that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but spirits in high places, in government, and in the second heaven, that are ruling spirits and that are coming with force upon the earth like never before. We're beginning to see and understand. Our eyes are being opened. We are being awakened, and I call it the Great Awakening. We have begun to walk in that understanding, that we are being awakened to what Jesus Christ did on the earth 2,000 years ago, and that in the church, the so-called church, the ecclesia, we are beginning to have our eyes and ears open to walk as he did, as he taught the apostles to. And it isn't for just those days, as taught by many doctrines, but it is now more than ever necessary for today. So if you are interested in knowing these things that the Lord has revealed to me, please get my book. It is on Amazon. You can purchase it on Amazon, and it's called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And if you have questions about what I'm presenting to you, you could email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I will be happy to answer any question you have the best to my ability in the Holy Spirit. If you are thinking what I am saying is way out of line because you have been taught differently or believe differently, let me know. If you are in agreement with me, let me know. because then we can build up this victorious, overcoming church together as we teach and show the body what the marvelous work of God has done for us from the very on-go. The latter and former reign is now being developed. The wisdom of God is now being presented. Mysteries are being unfolded for us to understand and revealed to us. Revelation knowledge is being poured out from heaven now. Are we going to grab hold of it? And are we going to run with it? With this beautiful, perfect light God has given us? Are we going to stay in a darkened state, which is watered down, the watered down word, false doctrine, lacking the power and the presence of God necessary for the things that we must accomplish on the earth today? And then, when the evil gets so ridiculously, horrifically horrible, we have a place to move into and to stay and find ourselves protected in the times we are in. And if you're in false doctrine, you're never going to have that protection. No matter where you go, no matter where you hide, you're not going to be protected. The protection is going to come from true and faithful doctrine. So in chapter 4 of my book, we are going to be talking about discerning the spirits and the preparation for deliverance. If you're willing and wanting to hear all about this, please purchase my book. Let us read together as I minister over the airwaves to you, and together we become knowledgeable in the things of God. And perhaps you have been given revelation knowledge that I need, that we need to work together and become that church that is so absolutely bright and brilliant as a light that will take the whole world instantly with truth and understanding. It needs to go everywhere. And by using the technology of modern day, it is going everywhere. We are finding ourselves moving now through the airwaves in which Satan had power over, and we're knocking him out through the move of the glorious truth of the gospel to reckon the absolute knowledge and wisdom and understanding that the Word of God in its purity has given us, to be transformed into God's image, to rise up magnificently as the body of Christ, that we may again be the true and holy light to the world. We are using the technology to do so. Will you join us, and will you help us financially to continue in this work? You can do so by going to PayPal and to bless us to continue in this work that we know God is calling us to. Church, if you haven't done it, if you haven't taken hold of this, you can be a help and be blessed by helping us in this work that God has called us to do. Again, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I am Patricia Xavier of New Wine Ministry. God bless you.